Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Pretty much any way you look at it, it's the last day of February here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. So not only is it the last day of February, but it is Wednesday, so that means the new blog went up this morning if you want to swing over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, we know this by now, at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man was bunch of fidget spinners.
Not yet. What do you mean? No, you know what the really sad part is about that? In case you don't know, Dan has a birthday coming up, and I end up sending him the goofiest stuff. You know, it's either Danica Patrick crap because I know he hates her, or Clint Boyer because it's the only other NASCAR driver he knows. So this year, while I was cruising around on our favorite Fanatic sites, I realized that they were getting rid of all their fidget spinners. So Dan will be, in a couple days, the proud owner of 29 of the 30 Major League Baseball team fidget spinners because, Dan, believe it or not, they were sold out of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Really?
Yes. So you will have every team. I believe there are actually two Cubs ones, and for some reason, somehow, I must have double-clicked the Rangers, so you're getting two Rangers as well. But, yeah, no Blue Jays, you know, on the Fanatic site. So, you know, I may have to hunt that one down for you so you have an entirely complete collection. Because it just doesn't seem right for you to just have 29 of them when there's 30 teams. So, yeah. That's the one part of your birthday present. I knew you would like that very much. Do you know how to use them?
No, I've never even seen one in person, to be honest.
See, I figured now you could take – now, see, since you'll have 29, well, actually, you'll have 31. You can take one to work. A different one to work every day of the week for your commute while you're on the bus or the train. So it worked out kind of nicely. But yeah, if anybody's out there willing to part with a Toronto Blue Jay fidget spinner, email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, because like I said, it was for some reason the only team they were sold out of. They were clearing out everything else except they didn't have any Blue Jays. So. That's what I'm looking for. But I figured it was the perfect gift for the guy who had everything.
Well, I am excited about the last thing on that list, but we'll talk about that when I get it.
Oh, I knew you would love it. I mean, like I said, what do you get the guy who has everything? Fidget spinners, because you know he doesn't have them. So that's just perfect. But all right. You know, Dan, I guess the Kansas City Royals were listening to the podcast yesterday. They signed Lucas Duda to a deal, a one-year deal that looks like if he hits all his incentives, he'll make $3.5 million. They don't have the base salary listed, but he can receive $100,000 extra dollars if he gets to 300 plate appearances. Let's see. He can take another $100,000 with every 25 at bats after that, topping out at 600. So actually, it looks like this is an add-on. It looks like it's $3.5 million with a potential to earn $1.3 million in incentives. So, I guess they heard us talking about it yesterday, and they decided that they needed a left-handed hitting first baseman to pair with their rookie, and, you know, dude has got a job, at least for another year.
Well, maybe he'll figure it out this year.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's always put up good power numbers. You know, it's just he really scuffled with Tampa Bay. I mean, he did hit 13 homers in just 52 games, but the weird part is he hit just .175. So it was almost kind of like the deal, you know, like he had 13 homers and 7 doubles, but only 30 total hits. So he had more extra base hits than he did singles. But, you know, I mean, combined, he put together, you know, another 30-homer season. That was the second one of his career. He had one back in 2014 with the Mets. You know, obviously, Kansas City, not exactly homer-friendly. You got a number in mind he gets to, you know, will he get enough at-bats to get to 20 or 25, you think? Or is he, you know, is he just going to be kind of limited? I guess they always plug him in at DH as well, but does he get to 20 or 25 in that ballpark 81 times a year?
25, I think so. I mean, you know, being a left-handed hitter, there's always a plethora of right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, you got to think he's going to get, you know, the at-bats. I mean, you know, of course, we never know what, you know, a team is planning. And, you know, I know we mentioned yesterday the prospect's name was, I believe it was Hunter Dozier. But who knows, you know, how close he is or if, you know, if he's even really ready. You know, I haven't seen any, you know, monstrous spring training stats. But, of course, they're only, you know, what, a week or so in. So, you know, no real huge thing there. But, you know, I mean, I like the move. You like the move for them?
Yeah, I mean, and it's not a bad deal for them, $3.5 million. Is that with the incentives or?
No, it's 3.5 plus a possible extra 1.3.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you figure the most of the deal is 4.8.
I'm trying to find them. you know, their 25-man roster, I don't know if this number is included yet, is only 94 million. 94 and a half, roughly. But they have 16 million retained, so for guys they're still paying. So where are we at? Oh, 110. So I mean, they're well below the threshold.
Yeah, you know, it seems like the kind of signing that, you know, fits the Royals at this point as they try to, you know, retool their team, you know, as things kind of, you know, kind of move along there for them. So,
when you look at their roster or their potential starting lineup compared to the World Series team that was going on the field 3 years ago, you know, that was with them pretty much since 2011. We only have Alex Gordon and Val Perez and Alcides Escobar. So you got three guys, but it's just a completely different team.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's the tough part when you're, you know, essentially a true small market team. You know, man, there's just not a... Not a lot out there for you. So, you know, they're kind of scuffling to do, you know, what they can. But, we'll see. I don't know. You know, like they were a bit of a surprise last year. So we'll have to see if they can, you know, manage to pull something off like that again or, you know, how it works out. But I don't know. So then, I saw Dan. We had, I believe that we could call our first, serious injury. And, it happened to the defending World Series champions, their first baseman, Yuri Gurriel, had hand surgery, and he will now be out 6 weeks. So he will miss the start of the regular season. I don't know, is this this a big blow for them, or you think they're okay because it's just going to be early?
I think because it's early, they'll be just fine.
Yes, they removed the hook of his left hammock bone. If you know what that is, I believe there have been some other players who have had the same thing. It will be interesting to see how they, how they fill the void. It looks like the roster shakeout they have here has Marwin Gonzalez coming in to play first base. He was a big-time utility guy for them last year. And then one of their prospects, Derek Fisher, the roster resource is saying here that he'll be the guy who gets the bump and starting in left field until Gurriel can return. So, if you're a fantasy guy, maybe Derek Fisher's a guy you grab early until you get a return. Who knows how accurate these are. They do have, don't forget, they do have Jake Marisnik on the bench also, who's been with the team for a while and, a couple years at least. And you got to wonder if he's going to be the guy who gets the start. First base-wise, they can still use A.J. Reed, who I believe I guess at this point he's a decent prospect, but they also have Tyler White, who I, maybe a tad ahead of Reed as a prospect, just depending on which way they want to go. But yeah, they're gonna have to go 6 weeks without Gurriel, and we'll see what kind of effect it has, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the other big-time injury, not that it really affects, even us in a deep league, with as deep as our league is, but I saw that Daniel Nava has to have back surgery, and he's going to be out about 12 weeks for the Pirates. At one time he was a prospect for the Red Sox, and there was a lot of talk of him being, the future left fielder there. And, oddly, his power never really came around. The most he ever hit was 12 homers back in 2013. But he was a solid, fourth outfielder for the Phillies last year. He hit 301. Again, you just don't get a ton of power out of him. And, in today's game where, that's such a big emphasis now, it's almost to the point, is it weird, Dan, that when you hit 300, people are just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, you hit 300?
Yeah. It used to be a big deal.
So, yeah, just, one of those things. But, the Pirates added Corey Dickerson, and they do have some prospects that they'll be able to fill the gap with there. So they should be okay. But Dan, I kept catching some reports on Dustin Pedroia, and they've talked about how it looks like he won't be ready for the start of the season. He had a what do they say? He had a cartilage restoration work done. That must be nice. I wonder why they didn't do that for me. And he underwent a microfracture procedure to his tibia. That microfracture stuff can take that can take a long time to kind of recover from. There's been some talk, even though he is signed through 2021, that this may be his last full year with the Red Sox, possibly as a retirement candidate. I don't really see him retiring with all that money on the books. But do you think they could actually trade a Pedroia at this point? I mean, we're talking about a guy who, you know, I mean, he's got to kind of go down as a Boston icon. I mean, he was a rookie of the year. He was an MVP. You know, he's been on, you know, all their World Series winners. You know, I mean, you know, multiple-time Gold Glove winner, you know, repeated All-Star. You know, he's picked up a Silver Slugger. You know, and I know, you know, it's a business. As much as, you know, we'd like to say, hey, it's great, and we'd love to see him stay with one team. But, you know, he's going to be 34. He's going into his 13th season. You know, you mentioned it yesterday, teams signing these guys for just too long of deals. I mean, we're looking at a guy who's under contract till he's 37. Did the Red Sox make a mistake here?
I think if we were looking at 20-plus million, you know, this year, next year, the following, and the 2021 season. But this year, he's getting up 15 and a quarter. And then, well, you know, his signing bonus is $125,000. So every year it goes down, you know. Next year it's 15 and a quarter, 13 and 12, the last 2 years of the season. So, you know, not as bad, but I think when you sign a guy to a 7-year deal at the age of 30, you're kind of pushing it. And they would have been better off, you know, I guess we'd have to look at their financial situation in 14 and 15 and 16, but, you know, the luxury tax threshold didn't really come into play till this season. So shouldn't have been a huge deal to, I think it would just make more sense to front load this contract, you know, because I think it'll be harder to push him off. But at the same time, you know, with money always increasing, I'm sure in 2020 and 2021, they might not have an issue really moving him if that's what they decide to do.
Yeah, you know, his injury was part of the big reason it was really important for them to get Eduardo Nunez back. You know, because he'll fill in at second base until Pedroia is ready. You know, their other options were really, you know, Devin Marrero or Brock Holt, who both had, you know, had down years. I guess there was some talk they were going to try Marco Hernandez, but he ended up getting hurt and needed shoulder surgery. So, you know, he's going to miss, you know, six weeks or 8 weeks or so. So he'll probably spend the year at AAA just getting better. But yeah, it's always an interesting scenario when it's kind of a lifelong guy. You know, I mean, how weird would it be to see Pedroia in another uniform?
It would be really weird.
You know, just one of those strange things. But you know, it does happen. You know, it wouldn't be the first time. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I keep you know, those are the guys, Dan, you know, that you kind of start to look at when, you know, we get to the fantasy, because you can probably get him late, and you just got to kind of wonder, you know, is he worth the grab to store on the DL? Is he going to be Dustin Pedroia, or is he going to kind of be a shell of Dustin Pedroia?
I thought that was rhetorical.
No, I wanted to look and see. Well, you know, he did still hit 293 last year. So it wasn't, you know, just 105 games, though, with the injury. But, you know, he still hit pretty well. So, yeah, not horrible. You know, and then I heard all day today, Dan, you know, one of the few shows I actually still enjoy on the Mickey Mouse Network is that Pardon the Interruption. You know, I've been in on that from the beginning when that show got started. It seems like it's been on 100 years now. And there are quite a few ripoffs now. Fox Sports has like two or three shows that actually rip off the same format. And one of the guys who hosts the show is a longtime sports writer by the name of Tony Kornheiser. He lives in the Washington area, so he's very excited about the fact that the Nationals are apparently much more serious than we thought about trying to bring in Jake Arrieta. You know, are you buying this? It seems like it's kind of down to the Nationals and the Phillies right now. You know, we know the Phillies are only willing to go 3 years. You know, if the Nationals are serious, do you see them upping this and possibly, you know, bringing Arrieta in to where he would be their, you know, basically their third starter?
I mean, you know, it's a gamble either way, but you kind of imagine how do you, you know, what do you have to do to keep, to re-sign Bryce Harper next year? You know, and I think that's kind of one of the issues. Obviously they went with the coaching thing, you know, switching coaches. But, you know, I think that's one of those things where I really think if they won a World Series that they need to do something, and he seems to be the best fit for them. You know, Chicago, he was more of a 1-2. He would be, maybe he'd be better slotted as a 3-starter there in Washington.
Yeah, you know, you got to wonder, as a 3, he could be pretty impressive, couldn't he? I mean, I don't know how well he stacked up at the top of the rotation anymore, because, you know, since he did have that monster year, you know, those numbers have really declined. But, yeah, you wonder if you're, you know, you're plugging him in against some of the other 3s around there. You got to think he would have an advantage over almost all of them, right? I mean, you know, off the top of my head, I can obviously think, you know, Jeff Samardzija could give him a go, even though I think Arrieta is a little better pitcher. And then I think whoever the Cubs decide to plug in at 3, be it Quintana or Hendricks, could probably match up pretty well there. But, you know, resume-wise, Arrieta probably still has a better resume than either one of those guys. You know, other than that, in the National League, I don't know if there's another 3 that's going to be able to kind of hang with him. So, you know, do you feel, you know, say they bring him in and they do win a World Series, you think it's enough to keep Harper there?
It should be. I mean, they go down to $88 million next year. You know, which keeps them
Yeah.
You know, well below the threshold. So, I mean, right now this year they're at 174, which still keeps them under. So they can even go with, you know, trying to get him close to the $20 million and even front loading his contract to get him up to, you know, say 25 starting this year.
Yeah, and I did land one of those fun articles we like about the best landing spots for the just the top 3 remaining starting pitchers. And this gentleman, let me make sure I get his name right, Ryan, I'm going to guess this is Chichester, C-H-I-Chester, I'm going to guess it's Chichester. He has the best spot for Arrieta being the Washington Nationals. He likes Lance Lynn with the Minnesota Twins and then Alex Cobb with the New York Yankees. You like those matchups there, or you got better homes for some of these guys in your own mind?
Sorry, I was still looking at the Washington thing, so we'll have to jump back on those other two. But, you know, when you look at it right now, you know, you said the Phillies offered him 3 years. If they went even 4 or 5 years, they'd still be in a great position to not only have him, but also have the room to re-sign Harper if he decides he wants to stay, because they've got Steven Strasburg there through 2022. Max Scherzer through 2021, who's getting a boatload of money. You know, they backloaded his contract. So, you know, he's kind of your high end at 37 and 19, 35 and 20, and 34 in 2021. So, I mean, going 4 or 5 years for Jake at 20-some million wouldn't really hurt them. So, I, you know, for a team that's looking to win a World Series, And looking to add, you know, definitely a solid three starter that's going to be paid probably more money than any number three in the league. They really have the room to do it.
Yeah, can you, is there, I'm not sure what you're using to kind of surf there, but can you check and see how the Phillies numbers match up, you know, kind of comparatively? Could they, can they compete monetarily wise with like what Washington might be able to give him?
Ever since I switched to Xfinity Mobile, that's going to be my new plug. I'm actually tethered in using the internet on my iPad through my iPhone without the luxurious charge that AT&T gives you. But Philadelphia's payroll is pretty, I'm surprised they're not in this thing again. What do you call it? But I don't know if they're a small market team because they're only at 44 million this year. And then, you know, in the 30s over the next few years. So, I mean, technically, if they wanted, they can match pretty much anything that the Phillies can throw at them. Their entire group of starting pitchers, except for Aaron Nola, are all, you know, under rookie contracts and not, don't have anything to do. Won't be, you know, we'll be going into arbitration. So nobody will be getting like a big time or a contract until 2022, be it Aaron Nola, who's unrestricted, you know, a free agent then, and then there's Jared Eichhoff. So, I mean, well, and Vincent Velasquez, if he, you know, if he kind of continued to perform, he's not even unrestricted until 2022 also. So, I mean, you know, depending on what the arbitration numbers are, you know, each year these guys could probably get like 10 to 15 million, you know, depending on the inflation rate. But, you know, 3 years wasn't a bad deal, bad offer from the Phillies to make him a number one. And I think that's what Jake has to really look at. Do I want to be the number one? Or do I want to be the number three? Because I already have the ring. So, you know, but I really think the Phillies can, you know, 3 years, they could pay him for 5 years.
So, and now, do you think looking at this now that you've kind of seen the financials, if neither, say, you know, one team, let's put Arrieta on the Nationals because that seems to be where everybody is expecting him to go right now. So, say, signs with Washington, do you see the Phillies then turn into a Lance Lynn or an Alex Cobb? And, you know, I'm going to guess it's going to be Lance Lynn because I'm still not sold on Cobb getting $20 million a year from anybody. So if he's going to stay with his demands, I just don't know if that's going to happen. Do you see them maybe making a turn and going, hey, okay, let's bring in this guy then?
I think with their situation, you know, Lance Lynn would be the better pick between the two. Because you would have that veteran status. I mean, I think you and I are both in the same boat on Vince Velasquez that we think he could be a really solid starting pitcher. I don't know if he's in that number one role or even two, but, you know, aside from him, everyone on that and that pitching staff is young. You know, you've brought up several times the Mr. Hotness from Houston, who was supposed to be, you know, their pitching prospect, Mark Capel, who, you know, he's not even in Houston anymore. He's obviously in Philly. That's why we're talking about him right now. You know, having a guy like Lance Lynn on for a minimum of the next 3 years can be have a huge effect on these young guys.
Well, you know, luckily, Dan, we won't have to talk about Mark Appel because he decided to retire this offseason. So we won't have to deal with him.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah, so we can just add him right to the former top draft pick bust list because that's where he's going to go. So yeah, we're safe there.
put together a bust list this summer, you know, in what is it, June? You know, kinda not maybe a full list, full on list, but kinda run down over the last, let's just say, 10 years. We might have to look into that this summer.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. You know, the one thing weird with baseball is it's easy to do. You know, there's a lot of guys that for some reason they just miss on, you know, sabermetrically or not, you know, they just miss. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, looking at kind of how the Phillies are set up, you know, they, you know, like they made the big ad and went out and got Carlos Santana. You know, it looks like they tried to beef up the bullpen with some veteran, you know, some veteran setup guys. Do you kind of think they need a veteran starter? Because, I mean, looking at their guys, I mean, they are really young. So do you think they got, you think they've got a, you know, plug in that veteran guy?
Big time. And you've got to wonder after Fernando Rodney's season, wherever the hell he is this year, if he's going to be a Philly next year. You know, this guy's going to pitch till he's like 60, I swear to God. You know, that's one of the things, and I don't mean to get all Cubs-centric and, you know, mushy-mushy Joe Maddon, John Lester, but, you know, it came out that supposedly, you know, the reasons behind John Lester being picked by Joe Maddon was, you know, he's finally comfortable in that locker room and he's speaking out and kind of taking that leadership role. You know, just from, you know, obviously we're not in that Phillies locker room or anything like that, but you've got to imagine a guy like Lance Lynn. I don't think he would come in there and be like, I'm the man, I'm the boss, you know, with Carlos Santana, but I think he could definitely take on a giant leadership role on that team and really, you know, get these young guys maybe, I don't want to say use the word focused, but, you know, kind of be a center for this team.
Yeah, cause, you know, because, I mean, just looking at, you know, Aaron Nola's their best pitcher. He's not 25 yet. You know, Nick Pivetta's the same age. He's not quite there. Eichhoff is just 26. You know, Velasquez is 25. You know, Mark Leiter Jr. is 26. You know, Zach Eflin is only 23. You know, this is a young pitching staff that, you know, looks like they could probably use just a – yeah, just one veteran guy to kind of plug in there and be like, hey, let's do this today or let's do that today and however it works out. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's not forget he stayed out a part of a season, but that was only because no one wanted to give up a compensation pick. And I'm not going to say it was his contract or his deal that did it. But I'm sure his situation, you know, was kind of a push for a restructure in that CBA when it came to those compensation picks. So, I mean, when you look at he and Jake Arrieta, again, I don't know these guys personally, but, you know, from what's kind of gone out there in the media, I think playing a guy you'd want to, have that leadership role around. I don't know if Jake could be that guy or wants to be that guy.
Yeah, you do have to kind of get curious there on how he is, you know, leadership wise. I don't know if he's ever really been, you know, been looked at as a leader, has he? You know, he's always kind of, you know, he's always had basically John Lester above him, you know, in Chicago when he really came into his own.
Yeah, he's always, you know, but in, he's one of those guys that carries a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, that's not speculation. That's, you know, coming from his mouth with the comments he made from Baltimore. You know, quickly after his departure. So...
yeah, you know, I guess you kind of.
And his arrogance.
You know, I still didn't get the whole, I'm not going to give them a hometown discount, even though they really saved my career. But, hey, you know, however it works out.
And I mean, I'm all for that. And I'm, you know, I'm not against that, and I get it. But. For him to come out prior to his, you know, a year, not only that, a year prior to his free agency to come out and flat out say that. You know, a true professional, and, you know, maybe that comes from working with Scott Boras, but to me, a real true professional in the game, in the league, would have maybe skated around that question a little bit more and, you know, really came out and said something in the fact that I'm, you know, we haven't begun discussions with any of that yet. I haven't really, you know, talked to my agent. We haven't gone into those talks yet. I'm, you know, I'm just preparing and getting ready for this season and, you know, looking to win another championship. But to come out and pull a Joey Bats, you know, fortunately for him, he didn't pull a Joey Bats and completely suck it up. But I find that those comments were just a little premature. And, you know, after the season was over, if he were asked that, you know, I think that would have been the more appropriate time. But for me, and again, I don't, you know the front office, Theo, and them personally, of course, but if I'm Theo and, you know, however the GM is, we always forget Jed Hoyer, but, you know, and I hear those comments, I'm just kind of like, I think it's really time to see what our other options are. And yeah, obviously that's what they did. I think that's what made Yu Darvish a little bit more attractive. Plus a strikeout.
Yeah. All right. Well, I had some fun with this one, Dan. You know, when spring training comes along, there's always, you know, some player out there that everybody starts to jump up and down about, and you just don't understand why. Well, I found one today, believe it or not, Dan, with the Cleveland Indians. The name of this guy is Richie Schaefer. Now, if you don't remember that, I can understand why you're not surprised. He was a first-round draft pick by the Tampa Bay Rays back in 2012. He's appeared in 51 Major League games where he hit .213 with five homers. He has managed to find his way to the Cleveland Indians. And I was looking through, you know, they kind of post those things about, you know, five things this team needs or five things that team needs. And I was just kind of reading the five, you know, five things that you might not know about the Cleveland Indians. And one of the guy's comments was, Richie Schaefer is the real deal. Dan, as of right now, he's 4-for-5 in spring training. They got this guy locked down on the Indians roster. He in the minors, he is a career .242 hitter. Last year in 131 games in AAA, he hit .227. Now, he did hit 30 bombs with 89 homers, but you could also add 188 strikeouts to his total. You know, he's a corner guy. He plays first, he plays third, he plays left, he plays right. Is it just the excitement that baseball's back that we kind of glom on guys who get off to the good start and we want to – you know, we want to be like, oh, okay, here he is. He's their dark horse. He's going to lead the way. I mean, it's not like when opening day rolls around, Richie Schaefer's going to be in the Indian starting lineup, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, like you said, it's just everyone getting a little excited. And I did want to mention, I did get my Chief Wahoo hat earlier this month, so I'm okay.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
But no, I think it's just the excitement of the league getting back together, and you know, whoever pulled him out, I think it's, you know, it's one of those where you don't really risk anything by saying he's a dark horse, because if he doesn't, well, you know, we've got the old, well, you never know in baseball kind of deal. But if he really turns out to be possibly their opening day guy, or, you know, even opening day utility player, you know, this guy wins for pulling him out.
Yeah, you know, I just thought it was humorous, just kind of the way, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, like, oh, God, here we go. And I get it. You know, I used to do that as a kid. You know, I would see some schmo go 2-for-3 in a spring training game, and then I could never figure out why I wasn't on a team, you know, until I found out about Tuffy Rhodes. I mean, oh, sorry about that. We'll just kind of move on. But, yeah. You know, and then the other exciting thing, Dan, and I know you'll be jacked about this. I I didn't see the game on MLB Network, but I'm going to assume it was on because every one of the Yankee games is on. For the first time this spring, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gary Sanchez hit back-to-back-to-back.
That's awesome. I missed it. I'm going to have to look that up in the highlights later.
Yeah, Sanchez did homer. Stanton put up a couple hits. And the only nice thing they could say about Judge was that he hit a hard grounder. So, you know, just kind of, he also did, they also have a nice photo of him striking out here in the first inning. That's Aaron Judge,
wow.
They have striking out. So, yeah, but it was the first time that they got in the lineup together there. So everybody was all excited.
But, I mean, unfortunately, isn't that what we expect? Let's be honest. He's not going to play in 162 games, but Aaron Judge, that is. But let's just say 150 games, he's going to strike out every single game.
Yeah. Which, oh, yeah. And if he doesn't strike out every single game, he'll make up for it by striking out twice in the next game. So.
Yeah.
The great thing about him and Stanton is, I mean, yeah, they're going to probably hit over a combined 100 home runs, but they're probably also going to strike out over a combined 400 times.
Yeah.
So,
it makes for a great lineup, but at the same time, you know, it's going, well, you know, I guess it's not as bad as depleting your number one guy who should be hitting 100 RBIs plus betting him second. But I don't know if that's completely wise, but I guess they're not, that back-to-back-to-back isn't going to happen as often as we would like it to. So, we talk about how we're not huge fans of a lot of the new analytical statistics that kind of come into the game. And, you know, I'm all for adding to the game and, you know, making it better, but I don't understand how having three guys in your lineup who are going to strike out at over a combined 500 times a season really improves the game.
Yeah,
but we just ignore it, right?
It doesn't matter, you know. So, you know, sabermetrically wise, strikeout means so little, no one cares. Oh, yeah, Sanchez is a 100 strikeout a year guy. Okay, yeah, so they will get to 500 probably rather easily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're looking at, you know, we're looking at maybe 130 bombs and 500 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't know. That's what just kind of irks me a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm all for adjusting to the new stuff. And, you know, I get some of the pace of play stuff when it actually makes sense, like revamping the instant replay. But, you know, just the fact that strikeouts don't matter and stolen bases don't matter. And I'm not saying that you need to have eight guys on your roster who are going to steal 30 bases, but I think that was one of the cool things about, you know, the old game was you know, even when you go back to the old Yanks and the old A's, you know, be it when Ricky was there or Reggie, you know, you had your guy like Reggie who was hitting the bombs from the left side, and, you know, he was striking out a lot, but you still had guys that you still had your middle infielder who was the contact guy who was getting on base every single chance he could so that he could be driven in by Reggie, you know, or Ricky was leading off the game. You know, you were lucky. I think he was, you know, hit probably the most home runs for a leadoff guy. But you were looking at a guy who's going to get on first, you know, get on in the first inning and possibly make his way to third base before the second batter even gets to five pitches. You know, that's just kind of the part of the game I kind of miss.
Yeah, well, I don't mind them batting all in a row. I would probably be a little more excited if they were 3, 4, and 5 instead of 2, 3, and 4. Judge is going to hit second, and then they're going to hit, I believe, Stanton third and Sanchez fourth. And I believe your guy Didi is going to hit 5 right behind them. So yeah, I think I would be a little more into it if, you know, there was just that one other guy, you know, I mean, if one guy to get on base, be it Didi, or, you know, it would be a fantastic spot to plug Gleyber Torres in the two hole and let him get good pitches. So, you know, this way he could, you know, kind of get hit off to a good start, you would hope, you know, because I'm sure you'd rather pitch to Torres than, you know, Judge, Stanton or Sanchez. So,
oh, yeah. Which I don't even, is he even playing?
You know, I haven't really looked to see if he's, you know, been back or how it's kind of worked out. But, you know, he's supposed to be ready to go by, you know, opening day. So we'll see. You know, but that, you know, it kind of brings you back to the point where you've got, you know, the number two hitter driving in 70 runs where, you know, he should be a 100 RBI guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's the, again, that's, you know, the new way, you know, sabermetrics tells you to hit your best guy second. So everybody hits their best guy second, regardless of what it means or what it does to your lineup. That's just kind of how it goes. So we work that fun stuff. You know, Dan, the other odd thing I've been coming across, and I don't think either you or I are as big of wrestling fans as we used to be, but you know, the WWE, you know, they did a really smart thing by signing Ronda Rousey to a contract. You know, they're getting a lot of mainstream media attention from it. And, I've kind of heard both sides of it here. You know, there's guys who like the move for her, but, you know, there's guys who, you know, didn't like it, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. You know, I kind of figured it was just the next step for her because her MMA career was pretty much over after the loss she had. And, I think she knew in her heart that she couldn't beat that, you know, that gassed up cyborg lady who I don't understand how she passed the drug test, but maybe they waive it for her, you know, like they did for Brock Lesnar. You like the move for her, or are you on that side?
I think it's a smart move for her because it's hard to say because you're like, I'm going to say her training and all that good stuff kind of isn't as intense. And people are going to say, well, she's, you know, you got to be on TV all the time and it's 365 days a year, but the intensity isn't exactly the same, and there's off days incorporated, and those off days just mean in ring you know, promos and stuff like that. So, you know, I think it's smart for her and her brand. I mean, if she kind of stayed in the UFC, it would have been more of a sinking ship, and she would have just kind of been, who are you talking about again, you know, Harley, get him. So I think it was smart of her to do that. And I mean, it's the challenge that they always have with, you know, former MMAers though, is the transition isn't as quick as I think everyone would like it to be. And they always are a lot stiffer than you would expect. And I don't mean that in a, you know, in the sense that you and I would talk about, I mean it more so in the sense that they're just not accustomed to the way of the WWE or just how professional wrestling is and the performance aspect of it.
Yeah. And, you know, luckily for her, she was able to negotiate herself a, what you would describe as a Brock Lesnar kind of contract. So she's probably not going to work house shows. So she won't be on the road the five nights a week, like a lot of people are. I'm sure she'll make occasional appearances, but she's really just going to do TV and pay-per-views. So she'll have a lot of time. I know for some reason, and I didn't quite understand this, And I wish I remember the name of the one guy I heard who was kind of ripping on her for it. He was basing it on the fact that he believes she made the move because she wants to be a movie star, but she's never going to be as big a movie star as Dwayne Johnson, as he put it. And I don't really, I didn't really kind of get that. I was hoping maybe you could clarify it.
Well, I mean, let's be fully honest. She, even if she stayed in the, what is it called? UFC. All the acronyms, I just threw myself off right there. There's, you know, once she passes 30 or, you know, 35, I don't really know how old she is or how young she is. I mean, it's not like she's going to be an MMA fighter till her 50s. You know, to kind of quote Derrick Rose, you know, you got to think about your future. And, you know, if you're an MMAer and you want to get into the entertainment side, your best bet is to go into the WWE. Because they have their own, you know, movie production company. And they're, you know, the promos, the vignettes and all that good stuff kind of helps mold you into that next level of your career, which would be acting. So
yeah,
to say that she'll be as big as the, to say she'll be as big as The Rock, I mean, Hulk Hogan was the biggest wrestler for how many years, and his acting career is nowhere near Dwayne Johnson's. I don't think anybody's will ever be.
Yeah, just so you know, she just turned 31 on February 1st. So she actually shares a birthday with my mother. Look at that. So, yeah, and now, interestingly, we have the UFC, as you had difficulty remembering it. They do have I think they have a pay-per-view just... I think they have a pay-per-view just about every week. And the cyborg woman, whose name is actually Chris Justino, is fighting this week. She's the main event on the card. And she's fighting the... I think they said she was the Invicta champion. And I'm going to butcher this name just an incredibly poorly here, but let me see. The first name is, it's got to be Yana, Y-A-N-A, but the last name is Kunitskaya, K-U-N-I-T-S-K-A-Y-A. So that's who she's fighting. She's the Invicta champion at that weight class. I don't remember what weight class they are. So we'll see if she can give her any kind of fight. Here you go. They're featherweights. So we'll see what kind of goes on there. But yeah, coincidentally, while there was all the talk about Ronda Rousey going to wrestling, the woman they always wanted to match her up against has a pay-per-view fight this weekend. So maybe it works out for the UFC and they get a few extra draws to see this lady.
Possibly. I don't really know much about her.
No, you know, like I said, the big thing I know is the reason the fight never happened with Rousey earlier was because this Chris Justino couldn't pass a drug test. And she's had, a few failed attempts, I believe, if you were to look on her record. That's what took her so long to get into UFC and that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying, I don't know, I'm not saying she's dirty now, I don't know how they handle their business. I do know when Brock Lesnar took that fight, they waived the drug testing for him. And he still ended up failing a bunch of stuff. And they declared the fight a no contest after he won. So, you take it for apples and oranges. I mean, if they did it for him because they thought he was a draw, you got to figure they would do it for her if they think she's a draw. So...
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, in 20 years, you look back, no one's really going to look back on the no contest with Brock Lesnar. It's the immediate future, the 5 years forward, 5 years backward, that you're looking at the revenue.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, if I was like, I mean, if I said, hey, Dan, remember when Brock Lesnar beat Mark Hunt? You probably wouldn't remember that the fight ended up being declared a no contest, you know, 3 or 4 months down the road, would you?
No. Well, that's even like, you know, you mentioned whoever, whatever college got their championship taken away from them. And you said the one guy came out and said, what do I care? I still have my ring.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Louisville. Yeah, the guy tweeted out, hey, I've still got this ring that says, you know, that says we won the game. And, you know, that's, you know, kind of how it goes. But, I did see, you know, another MMA name that people actually recognize, John Jones had his license revoked by the California State Athletic Commission. And they also fined him $205,000. Because he failed another drug test. So this time it was for metabolites, which is an anabolic steroid. Metabolites of the anabolic steroid Turbinol is what he tested positive for. He failed before for some illegal substances, you know, as in marijuana or I believe I think at one point there may have been cocaine in his system. I'm not sure on that. I don't know for sure. So, yeah, just another in a, you know, what's turning out to be kind of a sad saga. I mean, this guy was the best fighter in the world, and it's just all kind of burning down around him. You know, it's just too bad nobody can get him help.
Yeah, well, sadly, it's that catch-22, and that's why the WWE can get away with it. Even though they have a quotation mark wellness plan in place, but you know they would be better situated to be, you know, to become entertainment companies, because then, you know, no one would really question the steroid use and all that. They want to keep their legitimacy so that they can, you know, for the gambling.
Yeah.
And to keep Congress off their back.
Yeah,
right?
You know what I. Yeah, you know, while WWE does have a wellness policy, it is a very selective wellness policy. If you look at some of these guys, and, you know, humorously, they just had a doctor get busted for giving his patients steroids, and one of his patients were Roman Reigns. But I don't think Reigns has failed a drug test recently. So how much of that wellness policy is really kind of in effect? And I know there were other names on that list they say that would be released. So yeah, it's, you know, I mean, you take it for what it's worth. Again, they have a policy that, you know, people, oh yeah, well they have this, but it's not like baseball or football or anything like that. So.
You can't just kind of take it in face value.
Right. You know, and that's the best way to look at it. So, you know, hey, no, you know, they didn't. You know, there you go. But we'll just have to. Oh, hey, all right, look at that. All right, the music therapy time for Dan and I to take off. We're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to call again for you. You know what to do while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Take a look at that new blog that went up this morning. While you're over there, hit the link and go over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. As always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want at tunein.com.